The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and there are several places in God's Word I want to turn today. So grab a neighbor's Bible. If they're not using it, just take their Bible. Or grab yours, hopefully. And if you don't have one and your neighbor didn't bring theirs either, we have some outside in the lobby. We find these words in Mark chapter 9, verse number 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain. Did you notice that he took them with him? Hang on to that. Where they were all alone. And there he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. We learn from another gospel account what they're talking about. And what they're talking about is Jesus' departure coming soon from Jerusalem. More on that in a moment. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters. Some translations say tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." I love the next verse. Parenthesis, he did not know what to say. They were so frightened. "Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my son whom I love.'" Say the next 3 words with me. "Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. We'll go ahead and read verse 10. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. This week I'm thinking about Jesus making things new. And my mind went right away to the verse in Revelation. You can turn there if you want or just mark it down. It's Revelation 21:5. And it says, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" What is Jesus making new on the mountain of Transfiguration? Are some new things being done? Are some new things being said and established? Is Jesus doing new things? My mind also turned this week to mountaintop experiences. We talked about it just a minute ago. And if you think back through your Bible, you can remember a number of important mountaintop experiences. Name some for me. What are some mountaintop experiences? The Ten Commandments are given on the mountain. Good. Something else? The resurrection on Mount Calvary. Good. Somebody else? Abraham and Isaac trudging up Mount Moriah. Right. What else? The ascension. The ark lands. Yeah, that's right. And I'm thinking, of course, today of the Mountain of Transfiguration. I want you to turn to Exodus 19, please, and I want to just at least give an overview of some things that happened in Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. And it is on this mountainside. In fact, your Bible may have the little heading thingamajig that says, "At Mount Sinai." It is at this mountain that Moses goes up by himself. The people do not approach. In fact, they didn't have to be told not to approach. If you will recall, they were filled with great fear and trembling. They didn't want to come close. In fact, at one point they say, "Could you please ask God just to speak to you? This is just too much for us." But God also gave strict orders. "Not even an animal is to touch this mountain, because it is holy unto me." And Moses goes up and he receives from the Lord what? The word of the Lord. He receives the Ten Commandments. He receives the law. All right. If you turn over to Exodus 24, in the intervening pages, you're getting more of the word of the Lord that Moses receives. And then 24 is an important chapter because it is there that the covenant is confirmed. And you may recall that occasionally, at table especially, I talk about the time that Moses and the elders of Israel went up on the mountain, and there they see God face to face, and they eat and they drink. That happens long about verse number 9 and following. But one other place that you need to see in chapter 24 is, long about verse 5, 6, 7. And you'll notice that the people are sprinkled with the blood of the covenant. And in some ways, and just as important, the people respond, "We will do everything the Lord has said." That happens in verse number 7, and it's a super important verse in the Bible. You ought to have that one underlined, because the covenant is confirmed right there. If you look a little bit later, toward the end of the chapter, you notice that Moses goes up on the mountain and the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled there. The glory of the Lord tabernacled there. As we continue a quick little tour of Exodus, in chapter 25, we discover what it is that God wants Moses to do with respect to the tabernacle. And if you flip through those pages, you'll notice that it describes, for example, the lampstand. And in verses 23 and following, and this is an important place, you'll notice that God says there should be a table there. And here's what we're going to do with the table. And he describes the gold molding and the four golden rings and the poles and all of that. And it is to have these kinds of plates and dishes and so on. And in verse 30, we learn God tells Moses that you are to put the bread of the presence on this table. Do you see it? Interesting thing about the bread of presence. I hope you'll circle that spot or at least highlight it in your mind. The Hebrew word for presence can mean a couple of different things. One of the things it can mean is, ready for this? Presence. The bread of the presence. This is going to give you goosebumps. Are you ready? It can also mean the face. The bread of the presence of God. The bread of the face of God. And during the pilgrim festivals to Jerusalem, the people would go up to these feasts, and one of the features of these feasts is that they would bring out the table of the bread of the presence. And the people, I'm getting goosebumps, would go up to Jerusalem to see the bread of the face of God, brought occasionally out from its place inside the temple so that the people can see it. So let's get this story straight about what happens on this mountain, Mount Sinai. God, after the Exodus, brings all of the people around this mountain, though they are not to come too near. They're not to touch it because it is a holy place. And he gives Moses, the prophet, some things. But I want you to notice first, before we name the things, that Moses goes up the mountain by himself to approach an awesome God. In some ways, an unapproachable God. In some ways, also an imminent God. Because as we will see in a moment, God makes provision for his nearness to be with them in various ways and places, including the bread of the presence, the bread of the face of God. So Moses goes up the mountain. He's a prophet, right? And God gives to him the law. God gives to him a promise of his own divine presence. He gives Moses promise of provision for the journey ahead. Promises that I'm going to take care of you. And as you remember the story, God does so in very, very practical and tactile ways. And he also promises to send them on their way to the promised land, their ultimate destiny. I'm going to go through that list again in case you're taking notes. God brings Moses by himself up the mountain, Moses the prophet, and he gives him the law. He promises his presence. He promises his provision. He sends him on his way with the people with a promised land, their ultimate destiny. So I want you to notice about four or five things about that. In the Old Covenant, Moses goes up by himself and brings the law, the word, down to the people. Do you get that motion? Moses goes up by himself, he meets with God, he gets the word, and he brings it back down to the people because they couldn't approach. They were afraid to approach. They were told not to approach. They couldn't approach, or what would happen? They would die. In the Old Covenant, get this, a pillar of fire and of cloud guiding the children of Israel through the wilderness by day and by night, signifying the presence of God. You've got the bread of the presence, and then you've got the presence of God actually tabernacling with his people. Conveying, by the way, a sense of protection. I'm going to protect you. But also signaling a nearness and an intimacy in some ways. God's presence goes with the people in the Old Covenant. Fire, cloud, bread of the presence. He tabernacles with them at the tabernacle. God provided in the Old Covenant a provision of manna in the desert. You know the story. God was really gracious to feed them. And they got tired of it. They were tired of all the manna. And they complained eventually about it. But God promised and he delivered. And this bread of the angels, as we hear it described in Psalm 78, comes down and feeds the people just when they needed it the most. And in the Old Covenant, and after a while, but without Moses, God does bring them to their ultimate destiny. God does bring them to the promised land. Remember, though, that Moses doesn't get to go, right? Why? He disobeyed. He disobeyed. And did you know, by the way, that when they step foot in the promised land, that's the day the manna stopped. Did you know that? Marvelous. God took them into the promised land, and that provision ended because he had given them all of this bounty. So that's Moses, one of the figures we see on the Mountain of Transfiguration. You may not have seen this verse, though. Turn, please, to Deuteronomy 18:15. You're in that neck of the woods, so just go forward a few pages to Deuteronomy 18. And we're going to hear a little more about this prophet Moses. Did you ever think of Moses as being a prophet? You're going to see it in just a moment. God is talking to Moses, and we see something in Deuteronomy 18. And skip over to verse 15. Here's a promise from Yahweh God to Moses. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. Read the next words with me. You must listen to him. Did you ever notice that? There's a promise. And the promise is that a prophet like Moses is going to be raised up by God. That's a new thing, isn't it? And we saw on the Mountain of Transfiguration just a few moments ago, if you want to turn back to Mark 9 again, God says this marvelous line. This is my son, which, by the way, is what he says to those who could hear at his baptism, which we observed at the beginning of the season of Epiphany. And now on the Mountain of Transfiguration, we hear the same words. This is my son. What? Listen to him. Something new is happening on the Mountain of Transfiguration. There is a new Moses. Are you getting goosebumps? Oh, beloved, Jesus comes and he is the new Moses. And here are some new things that Jesus is doing in a new covenant. Another mountain that you might have thought of earlier was the mountain of Beatitudes. And our precious Lord Jesus takes everyone with him up the mountain, and he gives his word. Let that sink in just for a minute. Unlike the mountain at Sinai in the long ago where the people could not approach, on this mountain where Jesus, who is God of God and light of light, of the same essence as the Father, who is the Word of God made flesh, takes the people with him up that mountain. And he gives the word of a new covenant. He's not the fearsome, unapproachable God. He is God with us. He himself is the Word. Here's another new thing that Jesus is doing. Jesus is the Word made flesh and tabernacles with us. That makes me think of Peter's bumbling statement in a whole new light, actually. Because you could make the theological case for saying that, hey, maybe Peter is accustomed to and perhaps wanting to return to an old way of thinking about things where we're going to set up some tabernacles. And this is the way that we can approach an almighty God. And God says, this is my son. Listen to him. Don't set up a tabernacle. You know why? Because he is the word made flesh and he's already tabernacling with you. Wow. Here's another new thing that Jesus is doing. Jesus is providing the provision. In rabbinic teaching, and I just learned this week, the rabbis taught and believed that manna, which was stored in heaven, look at Psalm 78 and Revelation 2, that the manna which was stored in heaven would be brought back by the true Messiah. Someday Messiah is going to come, the rabbis are teaching, and this bread of the angels, this heavenly bread, will be restored. He's going to bring back the manna. Listen, Jesus comes along, and in John 6, I want you to turn there, he says, I am the bread come down from heaven. Turn there with me, would you? John chapter 6. This happens, by the way, right after he feeds the 5,000. This statement about being the bread come down from heaven comes after the feeding of the 5,000. And why do they follow him? Why do the people follow Jesus? It says the next day they followed him to the next place. And this is what they say to him in verse 30 of John 6. What miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? You might read that verse and say, wait a minute, that just happened yesterday. Why are they asking again today? Here's why. Because the real Messiah would bring back the manna. And what is manna but daily bread? Okay, he did it one day. That's really terrific. Let's see what happens tomorrow. And they follow him and they say, we're ready for another miraculous sign. Verse 30. What will you do? Look what they say in verse 31. Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And look what Jesus says. I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Later on in verse 31, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Deuteronomy 18:15 is ringing in my ears. God has raised up a new Moses, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus has come as the new Moses, and he's given the word. He is the word made flesh and tabernacles among us, and now he is himself the provision. He is bringing bread to the people. He has come to bring the new manna. He is it. And he tells them as much in John chapter 6. There's one, at least, one other new thing that Jesus is doing on the Mount of Transfiguration. All of this talk about a new Moses. What in the world does that have to do with the Mount of Transfiguration? I mentioned earlier that when Peter, James, and John observed Jesus talking to Moses and Elijah, we learn from another one of the gospel accounts what they're talking about. And it says they are talking about his departure that would soon be coming from Jerusalem. The word for departure, are you ready? Exodon. Jesus was talking. Jesus, the new Moses, is talking with the original Moses about a new exodus that he would soon be leading from Jerusalem. And it's not just to the Jew, but it's to everyone who believes this exodus. Jesus himself is the new Moses who is leading a new exodus from Jerusalem. Can you imagine what it must have been like on that mountaintop? As the distance between here and there thins to gossamer. Beloved, I believe with my whole heart that the same thing happens when we come to table each and every Sunday. The distance between here and there thins to gossamer. Surely we are coming now to a high point in worship, a mountaintop, if you will. Look at Hebrews 12 just for a moment. We'll end there. It kind of brings it all home. Hebrews 12 and 22. In fact, I'm going to back up to 18. As we hear a tale of two mountaintops. Ready? Hebrews 12, 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word could be spoken to them because they could not bear what was commanded. And that which was commanded was this: if even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses himself said, I'm trembling with fear. That's the old mountain. Here's the new one. But verse 22, you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to a sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. I invite you to a place now that thins to gossamer. I invite you to come with me up this mountain to see not a transubstantiation, to see not a consubstantiation, but to see a transfiguration. For I believe that is what happens, most especially at table. And though we only see through a glass dimly right now, one day we will see Jesus face to face. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how we love you. And how we bow before you and worship and marvel at the new things you are doing. I give you thanks, Lord Jesus, that you are the new Moses. I give you thanks, Lord Jesus, that you are the Word made flesh, whose presence is the very face of God, the bread of heaven come down for us. Give you thanks that as you tabernacle with us, you also lead a great exodus, and that that throng of saved people is open to whoever believes. Today I pray that you will give us eyes to see you standing on this mountain of transfiguration and be transfigured before us. And we may dance and we may bow, We may sing and shout, we may remain silent, but we acknowledge that you are Lord. We ask all of these things in the name of the transfigured Christ, who along with you, Father and Spirit, be glory in this place today. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.